Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlick.
When you became a Christian, did you feel like trouble-free life is now beginning, or Jesus is going to fix everything? What did you think? And if you're not a Christian and you're thinking, well, maybe I should give this Jesus a try. He might fix those junk in my life that are making it so difficult to live in this world. Well, my guest today, Pastor Dustin Crow, wrote the book, Your Wilderness is Not a Waste, God's Purpose in Suffering and Struggles. Are you ready? Let's find out. Maybe you're in a wilderness period right now and you need to hear some words from a pastor who's been in your shoes. Pastor Dustin Crow, welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about your life, and then we'll go into what things you've learned about deserts and wildernesses.
Yeah, I'm a discipleship pastor, been in ministry about 15 years. My wife and I live in Indianapolis area and have two little kids, 9 and 5, so still in that season. And yeah, enjoy riding when I have the chance.
Those kids keep you hopping too, don't they?
They do.
So when you became a Christian, did you think that everything was going to be a bed of roses?
Yeah, I think in some ways I probably did. And obviously there are a lot of ways God made my life better. I can look back early in my Christian life, probably college, young adult age, and I do think I had this idea of transaction. If I obey God, if I do what he says, if I read my Bible, then yeah, everything will work out. Life will be better. Things will go the way I want. I kind of thought that's how it worked.
Yeah, isn't that something? I kind of felt like that when I first became a Christian too. And then I've been on various journeys in my life through wildernesses, and I'm going, God, are you really there? Are you listening to me? Or what do I need to do to get your attention a little harder? So you obviously wrote your book for some reasons. Your Wilderness is Not a Waste, God's Purpose in Suffering and Struggles. What caused you to write this book?
Yeah, a few things. One, like you mentioned, I think sometimes as Christians, we can have a little bit of disillusionment in hard things because we assume, you know, if I'm following God, things will go better. We define good as easy and comfortable. And so there can be this disillusionment when life is hard. Other times we might think, okay, if I'm in a wilderness, in a trial, that means I failed. So God is against me, or God has punished me, or we believe this means God is distant, like he's just not involved, and that's why I'm here. And yeah, you see in scripture, and we'll talk about this, but all of the ways that God actually intends the wilderness for good, but because that's not our gut reaction to trials, part of the hope in the book as a pastor, what I've learned is people need to be reminded, no, this isn't because you failed or God is against you. He actually has good purposes in these seasons.
You must have gone through wilderness lessons that really prompted you to write this book. Share some of those with us.
Yeah, I kind of started, you know, the book, the idea of the book began really during the pandemic when that began, because as a church, we were trying to figure out, okay, like, what do we do in this season when no one knew, like, can you meet in buildings? You know, how long is this going to last? So right at the beginning. And so I started teaching on Deuteronomy. So there was kind of this period where Israel is in the wilderness, but they're not yet in the promised land. And so, you know, that was a hard time for many people, for our church. So it kind of was birthed there. But then, yeah, I walked through a lot of health trials with my kids. My son had to be lifeline because of asthma and respiratory distress. At that time, my dad was walking through cancer. He ended up passing away, and lost my mom to cancer just a few months ago. So, lots of wilderness seasons, as I'm sure you've experienced, listeners have experienced, you know, they come and go, but they never stop.
You know, it's interesting that wilderness is used a lot in the Bible. The children of Israel had to go through the wilderness. David, I'm sure, went through the wilderness with the challenges he faced with loneliness. Moses, Aaron, all of those. Talk about those experiences and how they relate to our lives today?
Yeah, I think one of the things you see like in the Bible, so there are a lot of wilderness stories, like you said, some of the common characteristics that we experience today would be there's always a place they were in where they couldn't provide for themselves. So either a lack of resources, a lack of people, there was something they needed in life and they didn't have. And again, that's often in trials, that's what we're experiencing. So whether it's we need financial provision or we need help in a relational issue or a health issue, whatever it is, there's something we need in life that we can't change or fix. So God has to do it. It's kind of that desperation of the desert. Another common thing is waiting. So in almost every wilderness story, there's a period of waiting. So again, there's something good or different they want and they can't manufacture it. So they have to wait on God to actually change it. And if you think about any trial you go through, there's an element of waiting, waiting for answered prayer, waiting for things to turn from sorrow to joy. Waiting is always a common characteristic of the wilderness.
And sometimes the plan that you think you're going through and in your life and all that is not what God wants you to experience. So he has to change our minds and our perceptions, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of what God does for his people in the wilderness, where, again, when we're in it, we see this can't be good. Like, obviously, if I'm in this hard season or going through pain, that can't be a good thing. And yet it can be hard. It can be painful. It can be the result of brokenness. And yet what you see in all those stories is God intends to use that for good. And so part of that is changing the perspective. You know, think of Israel in the wilderness again and again. They grumble. They want to go back to Egypt. They can't see how God can be in this. And he has to remind them of all of his good purposes, that I've let you go hungry so you can see that it's me who feeds you. Or I'm taking you on a long way so you learn to trust me and I can shape your character and I can free you from your idolatry. And all of these things, he shows them, this is why I have you here. You're not yet ready for the promised land. You need the wilderness.
Talk about David's life and the wildernesses he faced in the midst of the good things and the bad things that happened to him.
Yeah, David's a great example. He had two extended wilderness seasons. So before he became king, he was running from Saul. He had done nothing wrong, but was on the run in the wilderness probably around a decade. And then years later, after being king, his son took the throne from him, and he had to run into the wilderness again. So it's kind of that reminder that you can experience those different seasons in life. It's not like you go through one hard thing and you're done. But I think you learn a lot from David, especially because we have his Psalms. So they're unique because the Psalms really are like a journal entry, prayer diary. Here's what David was thinking and feeling. I think some of the things we learn from David is, again, opposite to what Israel did, whereas they turned away from God, David kind of suffers in a Godward direction. So he still prays to the Lord and he turns to him as his refuge and he meditates on scripture and he rehearses, like, these are all the ways that God has been faithful in the past, even if I'm not seeing that today. So I think David shows us, how do you go through hard things and still hold on to trust and cling to God?
You see the example of Bathsheba and how David, after he went through that example, he was sorry. He was mournful. He said, God, will you ever take me back? And how did God turn that wilderness into a place of bounty for him?
Yeah. And before I answer that, I think one thing I've learned from that story, because I just finished another book on the story of David, because it stood out to me after writing the wilderness book. I think one of the things you learn is part of the problem there is when life is going well for David, he seems to get in trouble. So a lot of his trouble seasons that are self-inflicted are when he's king or when things are easy. But those wilderness seasons I mentioned, most of his best Psalms we see flow out of the wilderness. So again, I think that's a good reminder for us. We think when things are good, then God is blessing us or that we're thriving in our faith. And yet David shows often those are the most dangerous seasons spiritually. But the wilderness, it's kind of like the season of spiritual opportunity. So I think that's a good thing to remember. But I think in particular, yeah, like David, after his sin, he repents of it. He confesses. It says that God puts away his sin. And so David kind of learns even more about the mercy of God, the compassion of God. It still has ripple effects. It has consequences. It's part of what led him into the wilderness. But he learns to fully cast himself on God rather than trusting in himself and his own works.
So how did God turn your wildernesses into experiences of bounty? How did they turn out? Give us an example.
Yeah, I think one example, and I do mention it in the book, and I like to mention it because just the timing was so providential. So I think the very first chapter is on Hagar, and I was actually teaching some of these chapters at my church before I wrote it. And so I was scheduled to teach on the story of Hagar in the wilderness on a Sunday morning. And that Saturday night was actually where my son at the time, he was two, his getting sick led to asthma, and it led to respiratory stress. We took him to the hospital, and then he actually had to be lifelined. And so, you know, he's in an ambulance, little kid struggling, and I'm in the car behind him. And so it's like, what do you go to in those moments when, you know, worst fears are being realized? And yet I'm thankful because I had in mind all of this lesson about Hagar, because Hagar's story was her pain, her suffering, feeling like no one sees it. And yet God shows up with, and he sees her pain and he hears her cries and he's there. And she actually learns, you are a God who sees and hears and knows me. And so I was just so thankful for that truth that had been put into my heart and mind for that Sunday morning, because that's what I rehearsed in that moment. That even though I'm in my car alone in pain and in fear, crying out to God, he does see me and he does hear me and he knows what I'm going through and he is with me. And that just gave a lot of comfort and hope, as well as just the gratitude that he had taught me that lesson for myself before I ever wrote about it or taught about it.
Your wilderness is not a waste. God's purpose in suffering and struggles. Dustin Crowe is the discipleship pastor at his church near Indianapolis, Indiana. So, Dustin, how can people get your book?
That's available Amazon, Moody Publishers, anywhere you buy books, it should be available.
So when you talk about the brokenness, how does brokenness fit into finding hope despite the brokenness that God brings you through?
Yeah, I think, again, so often there are things that we tend to believe, lies we tend to believe. And I think one of those lies are, you know, the things that lead to my brokenness, whether that's a weakness, whether that's failure, just a trial or hardship in life, we tend to believe those are the things that disqualify me. Those are the things in my life that are hard, or why God can't use me, or why I can't have an impact on people. And yet what you see throughout Scripture, and I think Moses' story in particular, are those seasons of suffering and weakness and even personal failure. Those are what break you down so that you do no longer trust in yourself, but you trust in God. They teach you to seek him for comfort, to lean on his grace. And so those seasons of brokenness are actually what qualify us. So then we're able to be used by God. And again, I think of my own life, you know, went to Bible college and seminary, and I knew a lot of things, but probably had not experienced enough trials in life to truly be broken. And so I think in many ways early on in my life, that minimized my ability to help people. I wasn't broken enough. I had plenty of knowledge. It wasn't until like I learned, what does it look like to actually receive God's comfort and grace, then I could pass that on to people.
Would you join me for another segment, and maybe we can delve into some more of these issues with our audience to help them think about their darkest hours and how God wants to give them insights and hope even in the midst of those?
Yeah, be happy to.
Awesome. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. We will be right back. Hey, I'm Judy Redlich. I've got a new project coming out that I want to tell you about. It's a book that's been long in the making. It's called Forward Heel Park, Adventures with the Four-Footed Friend. And it's all about my relationships with my service dogs. You see, I've had three service dogs because I'm visually impaired, and they have really taught me a lot about independence, but also about loving and serving, being patient, and being an overcomer in a challenging place. It's coming out June 15th on Amazon. So listen more and you'll hear more about the details of my book, Forward Heel Park, Adventures with the Four-Footed Friend. I'll give you updates on my website, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. watch for them, won't you? And don't forget to leave your review on Amazon. Pastor Dustin Crow is my guest, and he wrote the book, Your Wilderness Isn't a Waste, God's Purpose in Suffering and Struggles. You know, so often we go through, I'm on a journey right now, a five-year journey with cancer, and it's been a wilderness. It's been interesting. It's been challenging. It's been crying out, God, why? And Dustin, you had mentioned in the first segment about how often we feel like we're being punished for something, but that's not really what God means to happen to us as we're going through our life's journeys, is it?
It's not. No, it's not punishment. Again, things can be very hard, and yet what we're told is not only does God work all things together for good, but in all seasons and situations, there are good things. That God has good plans. And again, so often we don't know what that is. It might be that he wants to reveal more of who he is. And so as, you know, pain often forces us to turn to God in different ways, and then we see his faithfulness, or he proves his power, or he shows us his comfort and his presence. So it might be that God wants to reveal more of who he is and grow our faith. Sometimes for me, it's I'm not yet ready, so I do need some of my character shaped. Again, often that's being weaned off of self-trust to trust in God. Sometimes that might be cultivating more compassion. It could be setting me free from kind of the idols that I tend to run to and trust in. So there could be so many things that God is doing, but all of those things are good things. And that's why I think like reading the Bible is so helpful, because when you read these stories of people in the wilderness, you see, oh, like that's the good thing he was doing for Hagar, David, Moses, Israel. They didn't see it. They didn't know it at the time. We as readers get to see it. And the same is true for our life, that God has good purposes in the wilderness we're in.
It's interesting you say the wilderness isn't a diversion from the plan. It's a crucial part of the plan. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that language, again, diversion, I think we assume, oh, like God wanted me to get from point A to point B. And usually that's like, again, we think in terms of like the good life, the blessed life. We want all things to be easy. And right now I'm not there. Like things are hard. And again, that could be there's relationship challenges. That could be, you mentioned a health issue, that we have health issues. And our assumption is, oh, this isn't part of God's plan. This is a diversion. And so this season is either a waste or just a problem to get through, as opposed to seeing like this is part of God's plan. Again, one of the stories I loved was when God takes Israel out of Egypt. It says there's a straight way, but he doesn't take them on the straight way. It takes them on the long way. And so that long way isn't a diversion. It's because he has very specific purposes for them along the way. And that's always helpful for me to think in terms of, okay, not just that God is good in general or has good purposes, but the exact path for my life is chosen for me based upon his loving, intimate, wise knowledge of me, because he does want to teach me things or show me things.
So how can we, when we're going through the deserts of life, the wildernesses of life, and I kind of look at them as the same thing, the wilderness, the desert, they both are barren, they both seem hopeless, they seem long, they seem unendurable, but how do we get through those and our perspective changes so we can make it through without feeling so down?
Yeah. Well, I think one, we can admit it's hard. Again, my hope is not to make people feel like we have to deny that hard things are hard. I'm so thankful again for David's Psalms or the Psalms as a whole, mm-hmm. where there is a lot of lamenting that this is painful or how long, oh Lord. And so God gives us the freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all prayed that. Like how long before that prayer gets answered? And so there is that freedom to say to God, like, this is hard, or I don't understand, help me through it. But there's also in that turning to him, and we're trusting in him. And so you can be honest about how hard things are. But again, I think part of that goes back to our definition as a Christian of, well, what is good in my life? If good really means that I have an easy life, that I have more money, that I'm never sick, that my plans work out, we have a wrong definition of good. But if good is nearness to God and knowing him better, and through that knowledge of him, I love him and I glorify him better, then hard things are actually usually the things that help us grow. I had a class once, and I would ask different people to share, like share one time in your life when you grew, and probably 9 out of 10 people would share a hard thing in life. And so it's just the way it is, that suffering and pain and hardship, that's where Christians grow and where we flourish, even though it's the last thing we would choose to go through.
And, you know, some of the darkest days, you say, produce the greatest insights. And I know on some of my darkest days, and maybe some of all of your darkest days, you may not write in your journal. You might just sleep, or you just might do something totally different because you don't want to face that hardness of those days.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's okay to say that we do have dark days. Again, I think part of what's helpful in those Psalms is the movement. I mentioned, how long, O Lord? Think of Psalm 13. Like, there are those lament questions of how long, O Lord? And there are days where we're just discouraged, or we're disappointed, or maybe we're in despair. And it's okay to be there for an hour, or maybe a day or a season. But what the Psalms teach us is at some point there has to be a progression of movement. And so you can't live in that discouragement forever. So at some point you have to move from like the darkness, the despair, to usually what David would do is start rehearsing, but here are all the good things in my life, or here are the attributes of God I need to keep in mind, or here are the ways he's been faithful in the past, or here are the promises. And so, yeah, for me, I think when there are those days where I struggle to see the good that God might be doing, or just the good in my life, I have to kind of be intentional. And sometimes I have to ask for other people, like, help me see the good in my life, or tell me what God is doing in your life to encourage me. But I just start thinking through the attributes of God. And the more I start thinking about who God is, and I think about all the promises I have in him, again, that provides that change of perspective I often need.
And God is our friend. He's our Lord. He's our God. He's our Savior as we let him. But he wants to be our friend, walking there right beside us.
Yeah, for sure. And again, you see that so often in the wilderness, we do feel this sense of, I'm alone. And in trials, we can have family members, we can have friends, we can have a church and people surround us, and that is certainly a gift. But there are those, like you said, those days and those moments where kind of the darkness closes in and you truly feel alone. And I think for me, so often those are when that's when I turn to the Lord and pray to him. That's when I'm like opening the word in a desperate way. Mm-hmm. And that's where you experience the friendship of God. That people can't say the things you need. They can't be present even in the way they want, but God is always present. He always is listening. We always have God's ear. He's always speaking truth over us. So he does become that friend in a way that no one else can be.
What would you like to have people get out of your book? What are the takeaways?
Yeah, I think if there's one thing, you know, from the book, but really if people open your Bible, read your scripture, some of these stories in the wilderness, I think what you take away is hope. And that's the challenge in suffering. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to feel like I'm going to be in this forever. Nothing can ever change. And yet those stories show hope again and again, because you do see God's good purposes and you do see what God is capable of. You do see how God takes hard desert seasons and he brings abundance and the flowers blooming. And so it gives us hope that even if I can't yet see what God is doing today, I trust that he is working, has good plans, will carry me through. And one day I'll look back and see how the wilderness was used for my good.
Because he does have our best interests at heart, doesn't he, Dustin?
He does, yeah. And again, you have to believe that. You have to remind yourself of that, what it means for God to be a good father. I think that's where those promises are important. Mm-hmm. So the promises assure us that, yeah, God is withholding no good thing from us. God has good plans and purposes for us. God is working all things together for good. I think as you rehearse all those promises about God, it reminds you, he really is good and loving and committed to me. And so if he's really that committed to me, that means that everything in my life has a good purpose and plan. And again, I don't have to see it. I don't have to feel it. So often we think, well, I have to feel that to be true for it to be true. And you don't have to feel it. You just trust it because God has told you who he is and what he's doing. And you lean into the trust, the faith, rather than the feelings.
I hope this has helped you today. If you're walking through a wilderness, God loves you and cares about you, and he's going to bring you through as you trust him. Dustin Crowe is my guest, and he is a discipleship pastor at Stones Crossing Church just outside of Indianapolis, Indiana. The book that he wrote, we've been talking about that, is Your Wilderness is Not a Waste, God's Purpose in Suffering and Struggles. Dustin, how can people get your book?
Yeah, they can get it online, Amazon, Moody. I mentioned it at my website, Indie Crow, I-N-D-Y. I have some other resources tied to it as well.
Indie Crow?
Yep, Indie Crow, last name is C-R-O-W-E.com.
IndieCrow.com. Awesome. Is there anything in closing that you'd like to say to our listeners?
Yeah, I'd just say for the person in that wilderness season, kind of tempted to give up or lose hope, to not give up. I think of the story of Elijah. He was so close to giving up. And yet so often, right when people are ready to give up is when God is about to do a work in their life. So the light is coming. Hold on till morning. Don't give up because God is at work. He is with you. And so hold on to that hope.
It's like the big storm comes before the victory.
Yeah, get ready for the sunrise coming out after the storm.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for being my guest. This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. Hope you've enjoyed this show and it's helped you grow in your faith and realizing that Jesus loves you for who you are. He's got a plan for you. We never know what his plan is for us until we walk the journey with him. This has been Encounter. Hope you'll join me next week for another edition of Encounter. And Dustin, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thanks for having me on.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlich, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlich.com. That's judyredlich.com. Or email her at judyredlichspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlich's website, email her at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.